Thank you for listening. Love Worth Finding is solely a listener and viewer-supported ministry, and this message is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. And thank you for joining us in making an eternal difference.
Now, many of you are parents, and many of you are grandparents. And so you need to pay attention. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. What a marvelous, wonderful promise. Now, at the outset, someone says, Brother Rogers, the Bible says that you're not to call anyone a fool, and you're quite right. And I make it my point never to call anyone a fool as such, because that's not my right nor my prerogative. But God is God, and God has every right to call someone a fool, and God has aptly described the fool in the Word of God, and He tells us how the fool got to be a fool. Now, I want to tell you that nobody is a born fool. No, fools are self-made, generally with a little help from their parents. Nobody's a born fool. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That is, the seeds of foolishness are there. But people generally make a fool of themselves. When the Bible speaks of a fool, the Bible does not speak of someone who is mentally deficient. A retarded person is not a fool. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks so sweetly and gently of those kind of people. The Bible tells us how we're to love them and nurture them and care for them. And so a fool is not one who is mentally deficient. In the Bible, a fool is someone who is morally deficient. The problem is not in his head. The problem is in his heart. And many parents are literally inculcating foolishness into the hearts and minds of their children. Many of them are doing it unwittingly. And so therefore, I want to teach you how not to raise a fool. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, you have really the formula for a fool. That is the three steps that a person goes through in order to become a fool. Now, look at it again. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, first of all, a person begins in life as what the Bible calls a simple one. A simple one. And again, the word here does not mean a simpleton. It does not mean a person without good sense. But we'll show you in a moment what that does mean. He is simple. But then he moves from simplicity to scornfulness. Notice, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning. Step number two, he becomes a scorner. And then step number three, and fools hate knowledge. So there it is. First he's simple, then he's a scorner, and then he becomes a fool. And so this verse is going to be the outline that we're going to use, though we'll study many verses in the book of Proverbs. So keep your Bibles open and lick your fingers, and let's go in and see what the Bible has to say. Now, first of all, I want to describe the simple one. And I want to call him an ignorant man, not one who does not have intelligence. You can have a lot of intelligence and be ignorant. See, never equate knowledge with intelligence. Many people have intelligence who don't have knowledge. So notice what we call here the ignorance of the simple. Now, what makes a simple person? Well, number one, he loves simplicity. Notice chapter 1 and verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? He likes his lifestyle. Now, this means a happy, easy, go-lucky lifestyle. He delights in it. No responsibilities, no problems. He takes the easy way. He has no real serious thoughts. He doesn't like to think about serious things. And you know, many people listen to me today who are simple, and they don't like to think about serious things. And if I get too serious, they'll tune me out. There was a Greek orator whose name was Demosthenes. Demosthenes at first could not speak very well, and so he put pebbles in his mouth and went down and argued with the ocean, spoke against the waves until he learned to argue and articulate and make his voice heard. One day he was speaking to a great, huge crowd about the great vital matters of life and death and eternity and deep things. And the people were doing like some in this audience this morning. They were kind of looking around. Their minds were gathering wool. He could tell that they weren't paying attention. So he said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you a story. He said, once there was a man who had a great load of sticks on his back, and he had to cross a mountain, and he was very weary and tired. And another man came alongside of him who had a donkey and said, why do you carry those sticks on your back? Why don't you rent my donkey from me, put the sticks on the back of the donkey, and let the donkey carry the sticks over the mountain? The man said, I'll do it. And they haggled for a while about the price, and the man rented the donkey. He put his burden on the back of the donkey and started off over the mountain. The man who owned the donkey walked behind. The sun became scorching hot. The man who was leading the donkey got so hot that he stopped for a while, tied the donkey, and sat down to rest in the shade of the donkey, to let the donkey make some shade. The man who owned the donkey came and sat beside him. And there wasn't room for the two of them. And the man who had rented the donkey said to the owner of the donkey, I'm sorry, you'll have to move. Oh, he said, I'll not move. He said, this is my spot. The man said, no, it is my spot. No, he said, sir, it is my spot because the donkey belongs to me. Therefore, the shade of the donkey belongs to me. He said, ah, no, but I rented the donkey. And therefore, while the donkey is your donkey, since I rented the donkey, the shade of the donkey belongs to me. Well, the man said, I said nothing about the shade. I merely rented you the donkey. I did not rent you the shade of the donkey. And so therefore, the donkey belongs to me and the shade belongs to me, and you, sir, are going to have to move. And they got into a furious argument. Demosthenes described the argument, and then he turned and walked off the stage. After a while, the people said, come back. Come back here. And they clamored for him to come back. Finally, he walked out. And they said, what happened? Who won the argument? To whom did the shade belong? Did it belong to the man who rented the donkey or the man who owned the donkey? Tell us. Demosthenes looked at them and he said, a few moments ago I was talking to you about the issues of life and death, and you paid no attention. And now you're all exercised over who owns the shade of a donkey. That's the way a simple-minded man is. You see, he loves simplicity. And you talk to him about God's Word, he doesn't listen, he doesn't pay attention, but he'll watch television. He'll talk about a sermon being too long, and yet he'll go sit for hours on end and watch television until his eyes get big as coconuts and his brain the size of a pea. He loves simplicity. He loves simplicity. Now, not only does he love simplicity, but correspondingly, he lacks understanding. Look in Proverbs chapter 9 as the Bible continues to describe the simple one. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 4. Look at it. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, as for him that wanteth understanding. Now, what that means is, he lacks understanding. He needs understanding, and he needs to come to God's Word to get understanding. Because not only does he love simplicity, but it follows as night follows day, that if a man loves simplicity, he's going to lack understanding. He's not going to know the truths of God's Word. Now again, he can be very intelligent and lack understanding. Will Rogers said everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. Isn't that right? I mean, he may be a banker. He may be a lawyer, he may be a school teacher, he may be an honor society person. Most likely he will not be, but he could be, and still lacks spiritual understanding. That is, he has no spiritual wisdom, he has no spiritual understanding. Third mark of a simpleton, he is led easily. Look in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple believes every word. What does that mean? The very word simple, the Hebrew word, means open. He's an open-minded man. He's what we would call today gullible. You can lead him. Now you see the sequence. First of all, he loves simplicity. Because he loves simplicity, he lacks understanding. Because he lacks understanding, he's easily led. You see, nature abhors a vacuum. And everybody must believe something. And so if he doesn't believe what is right, he's going to believe what is wrong. And therefore, he is a sitting duck. Madison Avenue has him like putty in their hands. False religions, rock music, entertainment, sinful friends, all of these things, they can just lead the simple around. Now, many of you have simple children. I didn't say stupid children, simple children. They love simplicity. They lack understanding. And therefore, your children, when they get in junior high school and high school, are just going to be led astray. Somebody's going to tell them something, they're going to hear it, and they're going to believe it. That's what the Bible says here, that he just simply believes these things. He's easily led. He's naive. He's gullible. He's open-minded. He has a plastic mentality. And people can manipulate him in order to destroy him. All right, now, the fourth mark. He's liable for judgment. Look, if you will, in chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. That is, he sees danger coming, he gets out of the way. But the simple pass on and they're punished. A simple-minded youngster, or an adult for that matter, is oblivious to danger. That's the reason why a simple-minded son will wreck your automobile. Man, he doesn't pay attention to the speed limit. He doesn't pay attention to the laws of safety. He just passes on, and he's punished. He will wait to prepare his exams till the night before, and then he'll flunk. He just passes on, and he's punished. An unsaved man who is a simpleton, he doesn't get right with God. He doesn't see that there's a death to die, a judgment to face, a God to honor. He never gives any serious thought to facing God in judgment. He just passes on, and he's punished. I was driving along on a major road, traveling at a pretty good clip of speed, and a man came out a side street, a stop street, but he never stopped. He was oblivious to the fact that it was a stop street. And with my adroit, skillful driving, I slammed on the brakes and turned the wheel, and my car went into a skid. He saw me, he slammed on his brakes and went into a skid, and we both just left rubber all over the road and came up with our cars about that far apart, my face looking at his face, right there, face to face. When he saw me, and that's, you know, he had just seen me a split second before that, didn't see me coming. He said, "Where in the blankety blankety blank blank did you come from?" I started to say, "Well, I was born in West Palm Beach." But, and I looked at him and I said, "Sir, we almost had a tragic accident. You could have been killed. I could have been killed." I said, "It would have been terrible for you to go out into eternity with that kind of profanity in your heart." He said, "I'll face that when I get there." No, he won't. He'll face it now, or he'll face the judgment when he gets there. Isn't that right? Sure. You see, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But what? The wicked pass on and they're punished. They're just oblivious to the fact that we must make preparation for the judgment now. And many people who are listening to this, "I don't want to listen to all that, man. I want to have a big time. I don't want to talk about heaven and hell and righteousness and God." And so he just passes on and he's punished. Now, those are the marks of a simple person. He loves his simplicity. He's having a good time. He lacks understanding. He has no moral basis to make value judgments. Therefore, he's led easily and he is liable for punishment. He's going to get himself into trouble if you don't help him. Now, many of you have children that could be described very easily as simple. Not stupid, simple. Simple, okay? Now we want to move on. We're talking a little bit about the ignorance of the simple. Now we're going to move to the second step, which I want to call the insolence of the scornful. The insolence of the scornful. Because you see, a scorner is insolent. Now look again in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Remember, that's our home base. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning?" Now, the scorner, he loves his scorning. What is a scorner? Well, if he's in high school, we'll call him a smart aleck. Or junior high school, he'd be a smart aleck. If he's in business, we'll call him a cynic. If he's in the arts or at the university, we'll call him a mocker. But all of these things are just ways he has of feeding his own ego. He wants to feel important. And because he lacks understanding and because he's not found true fulfillment in his simplicity, he takes on an air of importance where he looks down on other things. He is a know-it-all. He becomes a scorner. He becomes a smart aleck. And now I want you to notice his characteristics. Number one, he delights in his scorning. He gets his jollies out of it. This is his self-fulfillment. This is what he really receives joy from. He really just simply loves it. He delights in it. Now, secondly, not only does he delight in it, he defies instructions. Look, if you will, in chapter 13 and verse 1. Many of you parents have children who have become scorners. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You can talk to a scorner, he's not listening to you. You might as well be talking to a brick wall. He's like those that Jesus said they have ears to hear, but they do not hear. You can always tell a scorner, but you can't tell him much. Why? He already knows it all. I mean, he is a smart aleck. He knows more than his mother. He knows more than his father. He knows more than his teacher. He knows more than his pastor, and he'll tune you out. He delights in his scorning. He defies instruction, and he despises the godly. Look, if you will, in chapter 15 and verse 12 of this same book. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You think you do him a favor when you reprove him? The Bible, as a matter of fact, says don't reprove him. Never argue with a scorner. You're not going to get anywhere by arguing with a scorner. I'm going to show you here in a moment what I'm talking about. He just simply will despise you if you try to reprove him. Look, for example, in chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. When it gets to this stage, I'll guarantee you, you're not going to argue with him. You reprove him, and you're going to get yourself ashamed. What it means is he's going to humiliate you. He's going to give you a blot. He's going to call you a name. He's going to curse you. He hates you. And if you're a school teacher, and you call a student in, and you sit down, and that smart aleck, and you try and straighten him out, he may sit there without saying a word. But if you look in his eyes, you can read these words: I hate your guts. That's what he's saying to his teacher. I hate you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he hates those who give him instruction. Now notice, he delights in his scorning. He defies instruction. He will not receive it. And furthermore, he despises the one who gives it. He despises rebuke. Reprove him, he will insult you. Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8. Now he is destined for destruction. That's the fourth thing. Look in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Look at it. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Well, what happens when a man will not listen to instruction? Well, go on, if you will, please, verse 13 of this same chapter. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. The scorner, he's going to die and go to hell. And he can laugh his way into hell, but he cannot laugh his way out once he's there. And it's a terrible, tragic thing for one to become a scorner. Now listen to me. There is help for the simple. There may be help for the scorner. Now, while you can't argue with the scorner, you can back off and you can pray for him if perchance God will open his heart. And then you can come to him at the right time for a word fitly spoken he'll listen to. And there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. But oh, if you're the father, the mother of a scorner, or if you are a scorner, a cynic, how I pray God that God will help you parents. How I pray God, if you're a smart aleck, a scorner today, that God will have mercy on you. And perhaps a shaft of gospel sunlight will come into that sin-darkened heart of yours. And you'll see how dangerous you are. How dangerously you're living. Because listen, there is hope for the simple. There is little hope for the scorner. And friend, there is no hope for the fool that I can find. No hope for the fool. The fool and the scorner is almost a fool. The fool has passed the deadline. And I've searched the scripture and tried to find hope for the fool, and there may be some, but if there is, there is scant hope for the fool. Now, what is the mark of a fool? Now, remember, first of all, there's the simple. And then he becomes the scorner. And then he becomes the fool. He moves from ignorance to insolence to immovability. That is, he gets into a locked-in position, a fixed position. Now, go back again to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want you to notice the difference. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Underscore the word love. And scorners delight in their scorning. Underscore the word delight. They just simply have something that they love, something they delight in, so that's what they do. But now notice the sudden change. And fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. The simple, he loves his simplicity. The scorner, he delights in his scorning. But the fool hates knowledge. Do you see what's happened to his character? Do you see what has happened to him? He is now the enemy of that which is good, the enemy of that which is godly. You remember that God is knowledge, God is wisdom. He has become the enemy of God, and so what does he do? Number one, he rejects wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Worse even than a scorner. He hates the truth of God's Word. He just simply rejects it. He has an antipathy. He has a hatred toward the things of God. Not only does he hate wisdom, he ridicules righteousness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Look, this amazing passage of Scripture. The Bible says that fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools mock at sin. That is, they ridicule righteousness. They laugh at sin. Now, we have a generation. We've raised a generation that does exactly precisely that. We get our fun, we get our jollies, we get our entertainment. This generation does, I say, from mocking at sin. Do you know what the majority of Hollywood television and the movies are about? Sin. They laugh at sin. Pornography, homosexuality, abortion, drunkenness, divorce, infidelity, premarital promiscuity. These all are the background for the situational comics that people see, sitcoms. Isn't that true? You know it's true. That's what we laugh at. Why? The devil's very clever. The devil knows that what a person will laugh at, it's very hard for him to take serious again. And so we laugh about homosexuality. We laugh about abortion. We laugh about infidelity. All of these things are, we think, are funny. The Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. They ridicule righteousness. They laugh at being good, at being godly, at being pure. Go home and read the entertainment page. You're going to find out that if they want people to come to the theater, they've got to tell them how shocking, how sinful, how sexy, how sorry it is in order to get them to come. Now, I'm describing a fool. Number three, he rejoices in sin. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. I mean, he literally enjoys his folly. Why is this? How could a man reject knowledge? How could a man ridicule righteousness? How could a man literally rejoice in sin? A simple-minded person may fall into sin and he may grieve over it and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that and I'll try better. But not the fool. His foolishness is an absolute joy to him. Why? His moral sense has been perverted. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. A very poignant verse. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. What is this talking about? God says how terrible when a man comes to the place where he doesn't know any longer the difference between right and wrong. What the Bible calls sin, he calls good. The Bible calls sodomy a sin, but he has gay pride week. And he says it's good. The Bible calls drunkenness a sin. And I listened to a beer ad yesterday. It talked about a particular beer. And he said, in these days, that's about the only thing now you can believe in. Can you believe that? The only thing you can believe in now is beer. I couldn't believe my ears. I'm hearing that people who do not know the difference between right and wrong, they call good bad and bad good, sweet bitter, bitter sweet, light dark and dark light. And they don't know the difference. They couldn't do good if they wanted to do good. They wouldn't know good if they saw good with a sign on it. Woe unto them. They reject wisdom. They ridicule righteousness. They rejoice in sin. It is a joy to them. They love it. I want to show you how bad it is. I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. I want you to turn to a verse of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Told you I hated to do this. Now here's a dog. He eats something that has begun to corrupt or rot. And of course, he has certain reflex actions in his stomach and in his viscera. So that dog, because of the way that God made him, he regurgitates and he vomits up that thing that has soured in his stomach or has given him an upset stomach, and he vomits it. And then the dog walks off and he looks over his shoulder at that. And then he turns around and looks at it again. And he says, well, there's no need to leave a warm meal on the ground like that. I told you it's bad. But it's Scripture. And he returns and laps it up. Have you ever seen a dog do that? Disgusting, isn't it? Now that's how sin can get its tentacles into a foolish person. I mean, even when the wages of sin are so evident, every kick has a kickback. He'll get into drugs and they'll destroy him. He'll get into promiscuity and it'll hurt him. He'll get into all of these things. And while it is harming him and making him, as it were, sick to his stomach, yet he'll go right back to it. Right back to it as a dog returns to his vomit. I'm telling you, dear friend, that a simpleton is ignorant. A mocker is insolent, but a fool is intransigent. I mean, he is locked in. He is fixed. He is immovable. And there seems to be no hope for him because he is destined for destruction. That's the fourth thing. I want you to notice another scripture here in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 10. Look at it. A reproof entereth in more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Do you know what that means? You can beat a fool till he's black and blue and you're not going to change him. Punishment won't change him. You put him in jail, you're not going to bother him. He's still a fool when he gets out. If you've raised a fool and then you decide one day you're going to change him and you take a rod and you say I'm going to beat the foolishness out of you, son, you're not going to do it. You can beat him to his knees, but you'll never change his heart. 100 stripes on the back of a fool will not change him. He'll die in his foolishness. He's become a fool. He is a fool. He cannot even describe the difference. He does not know the difference between right and wrong. He hates righteousness. He loves foolishness. It's a sad thing. It's a terrible thing. And he's going to die, and he's going to go to hell because he's a fool. Now, Pharaoh was a fool, and God sent him one judgment, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then another, then another, then another, then another, then another. Do you think 10 plagues changed Pharaoh? The Bible says he hardened his heart yet more and more. Pharaoh's in hell today because he was a fool. Now listen, first a child starts out as simple, then he becomes scornful, and then he becomes foolish. Now how do we keep from raising a fool? What hope is there? Well now let's go back and look at the scripture from another viewpoint here. Let me tell you how to deal with your children, how not to raise a fool. Number one, remember that the simple can be taught. Turn back if you will to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Now watch this, to give subtlety to the simple. The word subtlety here means wisdom, understanding, discernment. And God gave us a book. It is the book of Proverbs to help simple children to become wise children. And ladies and gentlemen, remember that that child can be taught if you start early enough with that child and give him the Word of God. For the Bible says in verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple and to the, what kind of man? Young man. Some of you have started about 200 pounds in 16 years too late. To the young man. To give him understanding And from the time that they're children, you better begin to get the Word of God in them. And every parent in this building ought to master the book of Proverbs and be mastered by the book of Proverbs so he can learn how to teach it to his children. That's why God gave us this book. This is God's manual on child rearing. This is God's book to tell us how not to raise a fool. To give to that simple one understanding. Oh, the wisdom of God is in this book. Do you know God's Word? Are you qualified to instill these things in your children? Remember that the word simple means open. And friend, he's open to God's Word as well as he's open to anything else. And God gave him to you. God gave her to you with a plastic mentality. Remember that he can be taught. He should be taught early. Remember, secondly, that he learns by example. Look in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Isn't that interesting? He learns from seeing a scorner get smitten. Mother brought her little boy to school one time, and she said to the teacher, "Now, Johnny's nervous. If he misbehaves, you slap the boy next to him, and he'll straighten up." Well, there's a little bit of truth in that. Listen to this. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Let me show you again. Look in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Now, if you have a child who doesn't have serious thoughts, you need to show him every time where sin is punished. Listen, when there's an automobile accident and you're driving along, you ought to stop and let that boy look at that automobile. When a teenager is killed for drunk driving, perhaps you ought to take him to the funeral, even though you don't even know the people. You ought to take him to the morgue. Or you ought to read the news to him. You ought to show from the Bible what the Bible teaches about the wages of sin. You see, he doesn't think about these things. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and punish. They don't understand. And so when he sees sin punished, do you know the worst thing that can happen to a simple-minded person? It is to be raised in a permissive society. And your children are being raised in a permissive society. And what happens in a permissive society? Sin is not punished. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If people were arrested, brought quickly to trial, quickly adjudicated, quickly punished, and put into prison, or put wherever they need to be put, or fined or whatever, immediately the crime rate would go down. Quickly. Quickly. But we live in a permissive society. So you, as a parent, are going to have to overcome that as best you can. And remember that he learns by example. And you're to show him these examples. You're to show him what happens to an alcoholic. Don't let him just see the advertisements, the beautiful advertisements there on television. Take him to a skid row. Show him the drunk in the gutter, covered with vomit and flies. Take him to a drug rehabilitation place. And let him see those kids, hollow-chested and pale-faced. Let him see it. When the scorner's smitten, the simple's going to learn. He learns by example. He just never seen these things. And you guard his company. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And that's, by the way, the third point. You guard his company. Look in chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Don't let him keep company with fools, because he's so open. He's so gullible. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. There is a time to expel a kid from school. You just cast him out. Not cast him off. You love him, pray for him, but you don't help him and you don't help the class by letting him take those who are simple and destroy them. The Bible says cast him out. There's a time when people need to be put away from society. There's a time they need to be put away from school. There's a time when people need to be excommunicated from churches and disfellowshipped from churches because they are troublemakers. They delight in making trouble. And the Bible says, yes, we're to love them. Yes, we're to pity them. We cast them out, not cast them off, but we cast them out. You choose your children's friends, and you choose them carefully. And you choose them when they're young and let them bring their friends to your home. And rather than talking about them messing up the house, you be infinitely glad that they want to bring their friends to your house. And make them welcome. And you scrutinize those friends. And if one of them is a scorner, you say, "Son, there's the sidewalk. Get on it. You're not welcome here." You say, "That's hard." Brother, I tell you, God gave you those children and you better protect them. And you better take care of your children. The Bible says, cast out the scorner. The Bible says, a companion of fools will be destroyed. Listen, do you know what means more to a teenager than anything else? Peer pressure. Right? Peer pressure. I mean, listen, their religion is the code of conformity. And the chief hymn is everybody's doing it. I mean, the sin is to dare to be different. And you say, well, that's bad. Well, it may be bad, it may be good. The Bible says a companion of fools will be destroyed, but he that walketh with wise men will be wise. Peer pressure is a very wonderful thing. You surround your kid with good kids. You see to it that they have the right influence. If he's a simple person, put something before him he can see and separate him from these kind of things. Peer pressure is a terrible thing or a good thing. It all depends on what you expose your children to. I wish I had more time, but my time is gone. Somebody has said this. There are four categories of people. There is the man who knows not, and he knows that he knows not. He's a fool. Avoid him. There is the man who knows not, but he knows not that he knows not. He is simple. Teach him. There is the man who knows, but has forgotten that he knows. He's asleep. Wake him. And there is the man who knows and knows that he knows. He's a wise man. Follow him.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like additional copies or information about other resources, write to us at Love Worth Finding, P.O. Box 38300, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also visit our online bookstore at lwf.org. In the U.S., you can place Visa or MasterCard orders by calling 1-800-274-5683, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.